What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Bill Grissetti back with you guys from Panthers Wire. We are mere days away from the NFL Combine, and guess what? Your boy is gonna be there. I got word earlier this week that I have gotten credentials, and I'm very excited. A little shocked. I was actually surprised that someone like me is a credentialed member of the media for the NFL Combine, but I will be in Indianapolis next week. It kind of makes up for me not being at the Senior Bowl this year, so I'm very excited. This will be my first time in Indianapolis, first time at the Combine. Very excited to see just kind of the goings-on out there and get a chance to see and hopefully talk to some of the coaches. Ron Rivera, for those wondering, we'll speak Thursday morning, I think, at about 10 o'clock, I believe it was. Marty Herney will not speak, though. So if you're hoping to hear from the general manager, well, I hate to burst your bubble, but you won't. It's just going to be Ron Rivera on Thursday. But like I said, very excited to be there. So hopefully we'll get a chance to at least record an episode out there for you guys, just kind of my takeaways, what's going on, and you know, hopefully I hear some things. It'd be nice to hear a little bit of buzz, but we shall see. But nonetheless, like I said, very excited to be there. So catch up a little bit, a couple news and notes to catch up with on the Panthers. And I think we'll wrap it up by wrapping up our salary cap talk. We've been doing that series a little bit over the past couple weeks. Effectively we have two position groups left, but we might as well lump it into one because your special teams, you're effectively only looking at. We'll just talk about like the kickers. The kicker, the punter, the long snapper. So we'll lump them in with the defensive backs. So that'll kind of wrap up that series. But a couple notes before we get into that. First, a signing this week by the Panthers is Damian Parmes is back with the Panthers. He signed a one-year contract to stay with the Panthers. He was an exclusive rights free agent, effectively meaning the only team really he could sign with was Carolina, and so he did. He was on injured reserve last season, though, with a shoulder injury. It's already been a few years. It's hard to believe that Parmes has been in the league. He's actually been in the league since 2015 when he was an undrafted rookie. The Panthers are actually his third team already that he spent time with in the NFL. He's also been with the Falcons and the Bills. But again, you haven't really seen much from him. He was on the practice squad in 2017 and injured reserve last season. But, definitely a guy the Panthers seem to like as far as developing and hoping to, maybe get some reps this offseason and preseason. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Parmes. But he is back for a one-year deal. And a little bit of coaching news in Carolina as Jake Peets has been named running backs coach. Of course, the backstory to that is that longtime coach Jim Skipper announced his retirement earlier this week. He had been with the Panthers for 15 of the past 17 seasons as their running backs coach. 70 years old. He announced his retirement, like we said earlier. Obviously, he's overseen a lot and, kind of taken from what Brian Strickland wrote over at Panthers.com about Skipper, how he basically overlooked a lot of good rushing seasons in Carolina. We know the old duo that you had of Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. 9 different 1,000-yard rushers under Skipper's tutelage, including Stewart and D'Angelo Williams, obviously Christian McCaffrey last season. He'd been with He's been with the NFL over 32 seasons with five different teams. You know, quite amazing. And 15 out of 17 years, so you figure also, I believe he was there with guys like Deshaun Foster. He's been with, was it, it says the 1 year he didn't coach in the NFL after making his debut was in 2001. That was when he was head coach of the San Francisco Demons of the XFL. Of course, the one and only season at the time of the XFL. We know that league is returning next year, hopefully a lot better than it was the first time around. Then he came to the Panthers in 2002. He actually started his NFL career way back in 1986 with the New Orleans Saints. Then spent one season with the Cardinals in 1996, and then four seasons with the Giants before coming over to the Panthers. Spent most of his time with the Panthers. Like I said, 15 out of 17 years. Those 2 years that he wasn't with Carolina was 2011 and 2012, when he was coaching Chris Johnson of the Tennessee Titans. This, of course, was after Chris Johnson had rushed for 2,000 yards. So Skipper is out, he is retired as coach. We obviously wish him the best. Jake Peets. I don't know where I got Freets from. Jake Peets has been named the new running backs coach of the Panthers. He's 35 years old. He has 9 years of NFL experience, having been with three other franchises before he came to the Panthers this year, as well as some college experience. He actually comes to the Panthers from Alabama. He spent last season as an offensive analyst at the University of Alabama under Coach Nick Saban, a spot he also held in 2013. So he was part of an offense that led the SEC in yards and points per game. As far as his NFL experience goes, he began in the NFL in 2008 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he spent five seasons there until 2012. And again, he went to Alabama in 2013, came back to the NFL in 2014 with the Washington Redskins, and then spent 2015, 16, and 17 with the Oakland Raiders before going back to Alabama in 2018. And now 2019, he is the running backs coach of the Carolina Panthers. He says, a couple quotes from him, he says, quote, "My wife and I are really excited to bring our family here to Charlotte and work with Coach Rivera and Mr. Herney. It's a great opportunity with a very good organization, an opportunity to grow, and it's a special privilege to be able to follow somebody like Coach Skipper, given his contributions to this league," unquote. And then he went on to talk a bit about Christian McCaffrey, saying, quote, "He's obviously a player that is very dynamic and has a special skill set. This is a players' league, and there are some great players here. It's exciting to get an opportunity to work with him and the other guys that will be competing here," unquote. And then they have a little bit more of some of his roles that he had with the NFL. He's actually been a quarterback's coach in the past. He was an assistant quarterbacks coach with the Raiders in 2016, and then quarterbacks coach in 2017. So obviously working very closely with Derek Carr. He originally started as a senior offensive assistant in 2015, and that was the year that Latavius Murray had over 1,000 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns and earned Pro Bowl honors. The 1 year he was with Washington, he was an offensive quality control and assistant wide receivers coach. And they make note that Deshaun Jackson in that year, 2014, led the NFL with almost 21 yards per reception, and led the Redskins in receiving with 1,169 receiving yards. His coaching career again began in. Well, he actually started as a scouting assistant with the Jaguars in 2008. Then was the team's Blesto scout, which is essentially like the big scouting service in the NFL. He was the Jaguars' Blesto scout in 2010 and 11, and then was an offensive assistant and assistant quarterbacks coach in 2012. His actual coaching career began at the college level, starting at Santa Barbara City College in 2006, and then at UCLA in 2007. So that's a little backstory on the new running backs coach, Jake Peets. And one more note before we get into the cornerbacks and secondaries as far as the salary cap goes. Speaking a little bit about the draft, as I, you know, with the NFL Combine in sight, the compensatory picks were officially awarded yesterday by the NFL, and as expected, the Carolina Panthers received a third-round pick, which will be number 100 overall in the 2019 NFL Draft. We expected it to be a third-round pick because of basically the big contract that Andrew Norwell got from the Jaguars, and you know, they did sign a couple free agents, obviously, but no one really big enough to cancel out, as it were, the value of Andrew Norwell. So that value then turned into a third round pick. There were actually 7 third round selections awarded by the NFL as far as compensatory picks, the Panthers being the 5th highest. The highest compensatory pick was number 97 overall. That was given to the Washington Redskins. Not really surprised, because obviously that was for Kirk Cousins after the big contract he signed with the Vikings. The New England Patriots actually received 2 third-round compensatory picks, one for Nate Solder, who signed with the Giants, and one for Malcolm Butler, who signed with the Tennessee Titans. The Patriots also got, maybe they didn't get one for Deion Lewis. Or no, they did get a 6th-rounder for Deion Lewis. But again, because of the big contracts that Solder and Butler signed, and obviously playing time, because it's a formula based on salary and playing time and postseason honors. You know, we don't know the exact formula, but there's guys over at overthecap.com that do a fantastic job of really giving you an idea what the compensatory picks might look like. And he pretty much nailed the third round picks, including a pair, like I said, for the Patriots, as well as a pair for the Los Angeles Rams, thanks to Tremaine Johnson, who signed with the Jets, and Sammy Watkins, who of course signed with the Chiefs. The Panthers pick falls behind the 2 picks for the Rams, but ahead of New England's pick from Malcolm Butler and Baltimore's pick, as they also got a 3rd for Ryan Jensen. As it turned out, that was the only compensatory pick that the Carolina Panthers selected, so they now will have a total of 7 picks, essentially back to their original number of 7 picks, as they now have obviously the 16th overall pick in the first round. They have their pick in the 2nd round, which is number 47 overall. Now they have 2 picks in the 3rd round, number 77 overall and number 100. They have number 115 overall, that's in the 4th round, number 154, that's in the 5th round, and then number 187, that's in the 6th round. So they have all their original picks except their 7th round pick. Remember, they traded that to the Bills in 2017. So they have their original picks in each of the first six rounds, plus now a compensatory pick in round three. So seven picks overall, four picks in the top 100. So a little bit of ammo now to work with. Now that we officially know the full order, and interestingly enough, you know, things can change, obviously, because of the, now that you can trade compensatory picks, excuse me. But as it stands now, the draft will begin with the Arizona Cardinals at number one overall, and it will end with the Carolina Panthers. It will begin with the Arizona Cardinals at number one overall, and it will end with the Arizona Cardinals at number 254 overall. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, you know, Billy, why 254? Isn't it usually 256? I'm usually seeing the last pick is number 256. Well, normally you're right. It is 256, but this year it's 254 because two teams forfeited their picks in this year's draft because they effectively used those picks in the supplemental draft last summer, that being the New York Giants in the third round and the Washington Redskins in the sixth round. Just looking that up real quick, that was when the Giants took Sam Beal in the third round, which, if you remember, was a player that a lot of people were pretty intrigued by coming out of Western Michigan. Giants took him in round three, and then in round six, the Redskins took Virginia Tech cornerback Adonis Alexander. So because they used those picks in the supplemental draft, it's almost like getting an advance on those draft picks, if you would. So the Giants and Redskins don't have those respective picks. They effectively disappear and effectively take away now from the entire draft order. So that's why this year there will be 254 picks in the NFL draft as opposed to 256. So with all that rambling in mind, let's wrap up our salary cap breakdown and look at the final positions. We will look at the defensive backs. We'll start with the cornerbacks. And if you look at SpotRac, they have a good number of cornerbacks listed, but not a lot of money invested into the cornerback position. The highest cap hit right now at the cornerback position is Captain Munnerlyn, set to count just $5 million against the cap. That's only about a little over 2.5% of the total cap. Munnerlyn does have 2 years left on his contract. He's set to make $2.9 million in base salary this year, plus his $1.5 million prorated signing bonus charge, a $500,000 roster bonus, and a $100,000 workout bonus. So that's a total cap hit of $5 million. They can, if they want to, move on from him this year and save $2 million in cap space. And then 2020, if he's on the Panthers, he's set to make $3.4 million in base salary, plus $1.5 million signing bonus charge, plus the same roster and workout bonus. So that would be a $5.5 million cap hit. But they could cut him before the year and would save $4 million against the cap. But again, $2 million they would save if they were to cut him this year, effectively because of the $1.5 million signing bonus in each of the next 2 years. That would accelerate into this year. We know Munnerlyn played pretty decently. Wouldn't be surprising if he becomes kind of a cap casualty. Also wouldn't be surprising if they keep him as kind of that veteran presence. There's been talk as to whether the Panthers really need a corner. We know Dante Jackson played very effectively as a rookie James Bradberry was a little up and down, so you know maybe they keep Munderlin as the nickelback again because he was pretty effective in that role. Ross Cockrell actually is next on the list as far as the cap hits go, set to count $3.8 million, which is less than 2% of the salary cap. So again, not a lot of money invested in the cornerback position. And remember, it was only a 2-year contract that Cockrell signed before last year, so he's entering the final year of his contract, set to make a base salary of $2.3 million, signing bonus of $1.2 million, and a workout bonus of $100,000. He also has that workout bonus. Or rather, he also has a 2019 per game active bonus of $25,000. So $400,000 total, zero likely to be earned since, you know, there's certainly no guarantee Cockrell will be around here, especially after missing all of last season. So right now the Panthers could cut Cockrell and it would save $2.4 million in cap space, as the only dead cap they would have against him would be that signing bonus. That signing bonus charge of $1.2 million. So again, saving almost $2.5 million. I think there's a good chance you're going to see Cockrell shown the door at some point during this offseason. James Bradberry, about $1.25 million counting against the cap this year. He is also entering a contract year. This is the last year of his rookie contract, actually. Base salary of just $990,000. Signing bonus charge of about $270,000. So cap hit of about $1.26 million. I mean, they would save almost $1 million if they cut him. Though I think I would imagine they're going to just ride out the contract with him. He is still the best option right now at the opposite cornerback position of Dante Jackson. So unless they find a major improvement, Bradberry is going to stick around. And speaking of Dante Jackson, obviously he's not going anywhere anytime soon, but look at the rest of his numbers on his contract. His base salary this year is about $698,000. A signing bonus charge of about $395,000, so a total cap hit of about $1.09 million. And, you know, besides, they would lose money anyway if they were to cut him. The dead cap would be about $1.9 million because all that signing bonus money plus his salary this year is already guaranteed. So that's what it would count as. But again, it's not like he's going anywhere. Going anywhere anytime soon. He's one of the best, if not the best, defensive back for the Panthers in 2018. And obviously, the rest of the numbers are your backup guys with small numbers. Lorenzo Doss, $805,000. Kevon Seymour, $720,000. Corn Elder, about $714,000. And then you've got some. And then Cole Luke and Josh Thornton, $495,000. But right now, wouldn't count against the salary cap because of the top 51 rule. But of course, if they are on the roster in the regular season, they would count, obviously. But right now, they don't because they're below that top 51 threshold. We look at the safety position. Remember, the Panthers had just signed Eric Reed to a new 3-year deal, and it looks like Spot Rack has the numbers up. They do. 3-year contract, though, it almost could turn into just a 1-year deal. Because a lot of the guaranteed money, and we kind of talked about this quick before, but now that we see the numbers here, a lot of the guaranteed money is in year one. He did get he's getting $9 million guaranteed, I should say, at signing, plus a $1 million injury guarantee for 2020. But that $9 million, of course, was his $7.5 million signing bonus, as well as his base salary this year of $1.5 million. So $1.5 million this year, plus a $2.5 million signing bonus charge, plus a roster bonus of $406,250, as well as he also has a per game active bonus this year of $31,250, which, and they also have $500,000 in 13 LTBE, which is likely to be earned, because we know Reed is gonna play a good portion of the season, I should say. And that's where the roster bonus comes from. I guess they figure $406,000, since they mark 13 likely to be earned, because if you do quick math, 13 times 31,250 is 406,250. So if he's active in all 16 games, that would equal $500,000, and his cap hit then would effectively become $4.5 million. The rest of the contract, his base salary is about $4.5 million, a little over $4.5 million in 2020, plus the signing cap charge of, or the signing bonus charge of $2.5 million, $640,000 roster bonus, as his per game active bonus would be $40,000 per game. So that would total $640,000 if he plays all 16 games, plus a workout bonus of $300,000. So his total cap hit right now for 2020 is $8 million, and it would leave $5 million in dead cap if they were to cut him in 2020, though it would save $3 million in salary cap space. And in 2021, he's set to make $6 million in base salary, $2.5 million signing bonus charge, $750,000 roster bonus, which is a per-game active bonus of $46,875 per game, and the same $300,000 workout. So his cap hit for 2021 is set right now at $9.55 million, but the only number that's guaranteed is the cap charge for the signing cap, or for the signing bonus. I keep saying mixing up salary cap. But so they could keep him maybe through 2020, but 2021 is a possibility that becomes a cap casualty with the money that they could save, you know, very little that's guaranteed, because they would save actually about $7 million in cap space if they were to cut Reed in 2021. But for now, like I said, his cap hit is about $4.4 million. Could get up to about $4.5 million based on his roster bonus. And that right now is effectively where all... And even still at that, $4.4 million as his cap hit for this year means he only counts about 2.25% of the salary cap. Next highest is actually Denor Searcy, who's set to count $2.5 million against the cap, as his numbers for 2019, which is a contract year for him as well, $1.6 million base salary, signing cap bonus, signing bonus charge. I will get that right one day. Might as well say signing bonus, $650,000, roster bonus of $150,000, and they figure that because his per game active bonus, or he has a per game active bonus as well of $75,000 per game, which would actually total $1.2 million. But right now they're projecting two of those games to actually be earned, so that's how they figure just the $150,000. As last year, it looks like he only got $50,000 for being in two games before, of course, going down with the concussion. And he also has a $100,000 workout bonus for a total cap hit of $2.5 million, but they can cut him before the season, and it would save about $1.9 million. They would save the $1.6 in the base salary plus the $250,000 in the roster and workout bonuses. So About 1.85 million they would save if they cut Searcy. And, you know, coming off the concussion and the improved play of Rashawn Golden, wouldn't be surprising if Searcy ends up being cut. And then the rest of the safeties, again, speaking of Rashawn Golden, $837,000 cap hit for 2019. Of course, like James Bradbury, second year of his rookie contract, he'll make about $595,000 this year. Signing bonus charge of about $212,000, plus a workout bonus of $30,000. And then his base salaries increased to $687,000 and $750,000 in 2020 and 2021 before being a free agent in 2022, unless obviously the Panthers re-sign him. That's down the line. And then Kaya Nakua, $570,000. Damian Parms, $570,000. Currently counting against the cap. Quinn Blanding's number, $495,000 currently, does not count against the cap. So like I said, not really a lot of money currently invested into the cornerback position, or into the defensive back position, I should say, even counting the safeties. But that's okay. I mean, we saw the play was pretty good, especially Dante Jackson, you know, and that's what you like to see. Rookie players come in and make an impact. It allows you a lot of production for a very small amount. You know, are they going to go out and get someone in the free agent market for some money? I don't know. You know, I could see them going after a cheap veteran at the cornerback position to maybe provide competition, a little more competition for James Bradbury. But other than that, I don't think it's a huge need. You know, I don't think they need to spend a first-round pick on a cornerback, and they probably don't need to spend a first-round pick on a safety either. So I think they're okay, especially with Eric Reed back in tow and, like I said, the improved play as the year went on of Golden. And then to wrap things up, we will look at the specialist. Graham Gonneau, set to count almost $3.7 million in salary cap in 2019. Remember, this is year two of his four-year contract that he signed last March. He'll have a base salary of about $1.95 million. Signing bonus charge of $1.57 million, $150,000 roster bonus, which also breaks down to those per game active bonus of $12,500 per, so that can max out to $200,000, plus a workout bonus of $50,000, so that brings his cap hit to $3,687,500. Effectively the numbers stay the same except for the base salary. So base salary goes to $2.75 million in 2020. Total cap hit of about $4.53 million. They would save about $1.5 million if they cut him in 2020. And then if he's around in 2021, when he'd be 34 years old, $3.5 million base salary. Total cap hit of about $5.28 million, but they would save about a little more than $3.5 million, if they were to cut him in 2021. So that's Gonneau's numbers. Obviously, you know, I don't think you'll see him gone for a while. It would actually cost them money if they cut him. Michael Pilardi, the punter, cap hit of $1.4 million. This year, that's only about 0.73% of the cap, as he's set to make just $800,000 in base salary, plus a signing bonus of $500,000 and a $100,000 workout bonus. 2020, his base salary jumps to $1.84 million, $500,000 signing bonus, plus he'll also make $10,000 as a roster bonus for each game he is active, workout bonus of $100,000. So his total cap hit would max out at $2.6 million. And then 2021, $2.18 million base salary, $500,000 signing bonus, similar per game roster bonus, but it jumps to $15,000 per, so that would max out at $240,000. $100,000 workouts for a total cap hit of $3.02 million, but only the salary cap charge is guaranteed. So if he's around in 2021 and they cut him, they would save $2.5 million. And that's it. That pretty much wraps up. We've effectively looked at all the players now and their current salary cap charges for 2019. So a nice little tie-in or a nice little lead-in to free agency, where the Panthers, of course, have quite a bit of players that are set to be free agents. And obviously, we'll dig a little more deep. But just real quick to run through the free agents, 26 of them to be exact. Ryan Khalil, though he's already said he's going to retire, so we expect to lose him. Thomas Davis, we know he's pretty much gone. Mike Adams, Marshall Newhouse. Actually, Eric Reed is still on this list. They haven't updated this list, so it's actually 25 free agents now that Eric Reed is back in the mix. Devin Funchess, Wes Horton, Fozzie Whitaker, Colin Jones, Kyle Love, Chris Clark, Amini Sialatolu, Ben Jacobs, Kenyon Barner, and just real quick, because obviously there was a little bit of news on Ben Jacobs, if I remember correctly. Yeah, he's the one we just talked about that he was released one day and joined the coaching staff the next day, so you could take him off the list, so that leaves 24. Kenyon Barner, Travaris Cadet, Chandler Catanzaro, Daryl Williams, Taylor Heinicke, Demir Bird, David Mayo, Cameron Artis Payne, Jared Norris, Brian Cox, Garrett Gilbert, Jamal Jones, and Elijah Hood. Those are currently the free agents for the Carolina Panthers. Of those 24, 26 from 5 is 21, and then you take out Jacobs and Reed, that would leave 19. So 19 Panthers are unrestricted free agents. One is a restricted free agent, that's Demir Bird, and then four more exclusive rights free agents: Jared Norris, Brian Cox, Jamal Jones, and Elijah Hood. So that's the list, and we're just a couple weeks away from seeing how many of those players come back, how many go to different teams, and just the free agent frenzy in general. So with that, we'll wrap it up here. As always, thanks so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Ricetti. That's RICCETTE. Follow the podcast just about wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. They're all over the place. And of course, if you have a smart speaker, you can tell your smart speaker to play these podcasts as well, whether it's at home or in your car. So until next time, have a good weekend. Take care of yourselves and each other, as Jerry Springer would famously say. And until next time, I'm out of here, and we'll see you next time right here on LOP.